every move we make. A switch.
Welcome to episode number 175 of the Sane Asylum. I'm your host, Giuseppe. Hope everybody enjoyed the mild weather that after 2 months of hot, humid stagnation, it's just been absolutely beautiful this week. And after a hiatus of the month of August, my friend, your friend, the amazing John Friend of the Realist Report, ace reporter for American Free Press, excellent contributor to the Barnes Review, is back as co-host. John, welcome. How are you, man?
Giuseppe, thanks a lot, buddy. Yeah, thanks, man. It's good to catch up with you. Yeah, it's been 2 months. So it's good to be back on the air with you. It's been far too long. Hope all is well. The weather's actually been really beautiful here as well. It's kind of, you can tell that fall is right around the corner. It's been beautiful. The sun is just perfect. I mean, literally the past couple of days, like, it's not super hot. The sun just feels amazing. So this is a good time of year. Football starting up. It's
right.
It's good time to be alive, and especially with all this craziness going on in our world as always.
It is pretty crazy. In fact, I just put up on the screen the most recent I know you're working on another one, you're always ahead, but there you are, man. A front page above the fold, headline, Impeach Biden by John Friend. And can the GOP overcome internal divisions to remove Pedo Joe, which I doubt it, but because they're also controlled. But what's amazing to me, John, is the hypocritical double standards being applied to the Biden criminal family versus Trump and his escapades. I mean, talk about amazing inequality, where they're acting like Trump is Orange Man evil, and this guy who's a real criminal, he's a proven pedophile, his own daughter in her diary that's been vetted as authentic talks about how good old Pedo Joe would come in the shower and rape her. And she had to wait until her parents were passed out at 3, 4 in the morning to even go clean herself. And this guy was installed by the Synagogue of Satan as the resident. He's never been the president. I mean, it's just insane. But your thoughts on the headline article, John, of Impeach Biden?
Yeah, I mean, to me, the big story is finally we're bringing up charges to impeach Biden. I mean, the Democrats were quick to try to impeach Trump. I think they did it twice officially. I don't know if they were really totally successful either time, but it definitely derailed his political agenda. And it's an interesting development. I mean, all these political developments are kind of – I almost view it more as sort of like political theater. I mean, what is actually going to happen? What is actually going to change? I don't know if anything really will, to be honest with you. But, I mean, just the double standards are incredible. And you hear the reaction from a lot of these, like, mainstream Democratic leaders, and they sound exactly – like Trump sounds when he talks about his persecution. It's a witch hunt. It's weaponized justice, and that's basically what the Democrats are saying now. So, you know, at least when this is applied to Biden, I don't think anything's going to come of it, to be honest with you. I don't know what you think, but I think it's going to, you know, ultimately lead nowhere. I think, but Biden is going to remain in the White House for this first term unless maybe he dies or something, which wouldn't surprise me. The guy is rapidly deteriorating on a daily basis, it seems like. But this persecution of Trump is really, I mean, so apparent to everybody, anybody that's paying attention, that's objective. And even Putin, did you see Putin's comments recently where he was basically describing the persecution of Trump as just blatant, you know, weaponization of the justice system in America? Everything that is happening with Trump is the persecution of a political rival for political reasons, is the direct quote. And he also noted how this is being done on full display to not only the people of the United States, but for the entire world.
That is a great point, John. In fact, I've been pondering that quite a bit the last year, the idea that we're literally witnessing this cancer, this Bolshevik Satanism creep into just about every aspect of our modern life, and especially the heavy-handed approach by these dual citizen traitors in dealing with Trump and any political rival. I mean, look at what's being done to these poor saps that went to they thought they had the constitutional rights to go protest the illegal stealing and installing of Pete Biden as resident, and now they're getting 10, 20 year sentences. I was just reading an article about this one fella who is literally in solitary confinement being tortured, and even a decent independent journalist like Owen Schreier, who was just there on the scene not doing anything except covering it and making the obvious observation that's clear to anyone who's not out of their minds, that Biden did not win the election. He was installed by the globalists. He's looking at 60 days or more in jail just for doing his job embracing the First Amendment and championing journalism. This is absurd, John.
Oh yeah, it's outrageous. It's a topic that, you know, we've been reporting on in American Free Press since January 6th happened. It's outrageous. I think probably the reporter that's doing the best work is Julie Kelly. I follow her on Twitter and also on her Substack page. She used to write for was it American Greatness? I can't remember the name of the website, but now she basically does her own Substack, and I'd encourage people to check her out. She's been covering this issue very, very well. She wrote a whole book about January 6th. What's happened with the Proud Boys, for example, all their main leaders, Enrique Tarrio, I think he got like 22 years in prison.
Right. Mm-hmm.
Some of the other guys, Joe Biggs, who was also, I think Joe Biggs, wasn't he on InfoWars for a while? He was like a...
He was, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. He got, 17 years? Some of the other guys got, 15. Ethan Nordian, I think he got 18. So, yeah, these guys are getting the book thrown at him. For basically just being, you know, in D.C., I think a couple of them did enter the Capitol. But, you know, you look at the videotapes, and there's Capitol Police, literally letting these guys in. You know, the whole January 6th thing was very, very suspicious. I have a lot of questions about that event. Certainly the way it's been depicted in the media, the overall narrative of a quote-unquote insurrection is just right. Farcical. It's laughable. It's absolutely a, you know, Democrat, you know, deep state driven narrative that in the media created this spectacle. And there was frankly there was probably people in place that day to create this spectacle for the media to run with. I think that's been, you know, pretty conclusively proven at this point with all these undercover FBI informants and outright agents. They had infiltrated the Proud Boys, they had infiltrated Oath Keepers and some of these other, you know, bigger sort of civic nationalist type, you know, MAGA type groups. So the whole situation is outrageous. Just shows you how totally weaponized the federal government is in this, you know, in the United States, the Department of Justice, the FBI. I don't know if you saw, but there was actually a pretty interesting development in Georgia. The state of Georgia indicted 61 far left terrorist criminals.
I did see that. That's brand new. Yeah. That just came out. Yeah. Tell us more about that.
Yeah, I actually wrote a big report for American Free Press in this most recent issue. You had mentioned the front page article. You can find that right on American Free Press's website, AmericanFreePress.net, the impeached Biden article. Mm-hmm. Later on in that issue, and by the way, this issue that I'm talking about, it's issue 37 and 38. It just went to the printer on Friday, so it's going to be mailed out to everybody, all print subscribers, early next week. So you should get it, by the end of next week or so. The Georgia district attorney.
There it is. I put it up on the screen there. Yep. Charges against 61 militants announced. Yeah.
Awesome. Cool. Yeah. Yeah. 61 of these far left militants, they were part of this group called Defend the Atlanta Forest. And I have a bit of like a cough from like allergies or something. So my voice is a little raspy. So just a heads up. I apologize in advance. But anyways, these, basically Antifa type terrorists, essentially, that are part of this group and part of this broader network. They're protesting this big it's going to be basically it's like this big police training facility.
Right.
That's under construction in right outside of Atlanta.
John, let me interject. Every major city has a similar police training facility, fire department training facility, and it's not something special. All cities have that, big cities. And so this is ridiculous that they're trying to block this. So I just want to interject that.
No, yeah. And this has been going on for a long time. This has been going on for a couple years now.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. It goes back. I think this organization, at least according to the indictment, this organization was sort of formed right in the aftermath of the death of George Floyd. And so it was part of like this broader like BLM, like Antifa uprising, right, that took place in 2020. And they've been engaged in these sort of terrorist direct action, confrontations with police officers down there, and also, private contractors that are constructing this facility. 61 of them got indicted by the state of Georgia, which is incredible to hear, considering how weaponized the federal government has been in recent years. So I thought this was a very, very positive development. The indictment describes these 61 individuals as militant anarchists, eco-activists, and community organizers.
Well, John, I followed that story since it happened, and I was astounded that they literally committed felony arson. They tried to put incendiary devices multiple times. They set part of it on fire once, delaying the construction. I mean, this is absurd. They should have been thrown in jail a long time ago.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah, the indictment is incredible. It's very powerful, describing the criminal actions that these 61 people committed. And there's probably even more involved. I mean, you know how that goes. If there's 61 of them, there's probably 100 more that haven't been indicted.
Absolutely. Yeah.
But yeah, I mean, they're throwing rocks, they're throwing Molotov cocktails through, the windows of some of these police departments. People are getting injured. They're like outright attacking, police officers on the facility. They're outright attacking people that are involved in constructing the facility. It's just outrageous. And there's video of this. In fact, earlier this year, actually, another report I wrote for American Free Press highlighted another story. One of the guys that was arrested for on domestic terrorism charges for participating in one of these violent confrontations with police officers at this facility was a guy that was tied up with the Southern Poverty Law Center. Mm-hmm. He was actually a lawyer. He was a lawyer on the staff of the Southern Poverty Law Center, and he was also a quote-unquote legal observer with the National Lawyers Guild, which is basically like this far-left outfit that helps these far-left militants and terrorists get off the hook when they're actually arrested. So this guy was caught up in it. In fact, the guy's name is Thomas Juergens. He was actually indicted in this broader indictment by the Georgia Attorney General. So I mean, it kind of shows you the type of people that are employed by the Southern Poverty Law Center, as if that would surprise anybody listening. I mean, these people are basically open Antifa affiliated activists. That's exactly right. What they are. Yeah. And so this, I thought, was a very interesting story, one I didn't see really get a lot of coverage. So I'm glad we were able to get a nice report on it in American Free Press in this issue.
It was an excellent story, and it gee, what a shock that the globalist controlled mainstream media wouldn't cover this. You know, I mean, it's just so.
Yeah, it really didn't get a lot of coverage. I mean, I know Fox News like reported on it. The New York Post had a big story about it. I mean, so it was covered in some like more conservative media outlets. But yeah, this to me is a huge W for us. Hopefully, these guys get the book thrown at them like all these other, you know, MAGA supporters that got tied up with the January 6th fiasco.
Right.
Yeah, and it's a powerful indictment, and I mean it shows you that you know the rule of law can be enforced objectively in this country. I don't know if it's going to happen at the federal level. I mean, we've seen how totally politicized the DOJ is and the FBI generally.
Right.
But you know, at the state level, some of these attorney generals can actually, you know, do some good work and just simply enforce the law. And this guy, the district attorney for Georgia, his last name is Carr. What is it? I can't remember his first name. I'll find it here in just a second. But anyways, this guy means business, it seems like. Anyways, he's, you know, he had
Chris Carr.
Is it Chris? Okay, Chris Carr. Yeah, he had some some very, very powerful critiques of this organization. And the funny thing is you know, you were mentioning this facility, the Atlanta Police Public Safety Training Center is what it's called. Mm-hmm. There are facilities like this all across the country.
Yep.
And even like the mayor of Georgia, or sorry, the mayor of Atlanta, and the, you know, like pretty much all the local officials are behind, you know, creating this facility. It's going to have they call it like a modernizing effect on the police department. Mm-hmm. And it's also like a broader facility to train like the fire department and, you know, the 911 response centers and stuff like that. So, I mean, to me, if you care about the rule of law and you want, you know, your trained law enforcement, you know, you'd want a facility like this. So, yeah, it's crazy. It's incredible. It's, you know, again, like I said, a good story for once. You know, the rule of law is actually being enforced against these far left terrorists that have just wreaked havoc across the country for the past 10 years, at least, it seems like.
Oh, absolutely. With the full blessing of the globalist controlled federal government, right? I mean, the whole idea of, you know, people have such short memories these days because of the constant overstimulation of mainstream media, of social media, of entertainment, of gaming and all that. But if you look at the ridiculous riots and burnings and lootings and in some cases murder back when it was election year 2016 and then 2020, how interesting that if you chart when BLM really acts up, it's always during a federal election year. So it's,
yeah, interesting. It's like they can turn on a spigot or something, or
yep,
you know, mm-hmm, they, you know, flip a switch and get their far left terrorists back out in the streets. We'll see if that happens in this upcoming election. I wouldn't be surprised. We already see, you know, these stories coming out in you know, CNN and other mainstream media, and, you know, these quote unquote public health experts talking about how we might need to wear masks again. You know, Dr. Fauci is out there even making some of these statements as if anybody is taking him seriously anymore. So, you know, I wouldn't be surprised if they start pumping up this COVID hysteria once again.
They're already starting to, John. It's interesting that there's already a remarkable pushback. Here I have a quote. The incompetent chicken swinger dipshitsy Mitzi Cohen, who took over for Sam. If you could cue up clip number 5, dipshitsy Mitzi Cohen, the dual citizen chicken swinger, who is now lying through her forked tongue about the new COVID poison injection. So listen to this. This is ridiculous.
We would all love to leave COVID-19 behind. The virus is still here and making some people very sick, especially older adults. The new updated COVID-19 vaccine is the most effective way to give your body the ability to keep the COVID virus from causing you harm. That's why CDC recommends everyone 6 months and older get one dose of the updated COVID-19 vaccine ahead of the fall and winter season. This recommendation was based on extensive data and clinical trials. As a doctor, a mom, a wife, a daughter, and head of the CDC, I would not recommend anything to others that I wouldn't recommend for my own family. That's why my 9 and 11-year-old daughters, my husband, my parents, and I will all be rolling up our sleeves to get our updated COVID-19 vaccine. I encourage you to get your own updated COVID vaccine and make sure everyone in your family who's 6 months and older does so as well. Don't forget, it's also a good time to get your flu shot if you haven't already. Check vaccines.gov to find a location near you and get your vaccine. And if you have any questions about the vaccine, please Talk to your doctor.
She is just a quack, and I really hope that her entire family, including her, gets actual doses, because typically people in these positions don't actually get the poisonous genetic experimentation injection that the average normie, the average true believer, will get. But what wonderful poetic justice, some call it karma, would it be to watch her go up and collapse at the podium? That would be I would that would bring a smile to my face.
You know, it's also weird. You know, Mandy Cohen, I wonder what ethnicity or religion she is.
Gee, I don't know. It could be South Korean. Yeah.
Yeah, I just Googled. I mean, of course, I knew she was Jewish, but yeah, right here on Wikipedia. Cohen was born to Marshall and Susan Krauthammer and has two younger siblings and is Jewish. Imagine that. Previously, who was it? Rochelle Walensky was before her, I think, and she was, of course, Jewish as well.
Right.
Mm-hmm. There's all sorts of Jews tied into this, you know, big pharma scam and the CDC yep. and promoting all this nonsense. Absolutely. It's just incredible. Who is going to look at this woman and hear what she's saying and take it seriously? I just cannot imagine the people that fall for this crap and go out there and take these ridiculous vaccines. And you know, we've talked extensively about vaccines. I know you've had John Massaro on your program. I've interviewed him a few times as well. In his book,
yeah.
Will Vaccines Be the End of It? Will Vaccines Be the End of Us is an absolute must read for anybody mm-hmm. that's interested in the subject. I think it's really the final word on the vaccine issue. It proves pretty conclusively that vaccines have always been harmful. They've never worked as advertised. And the whole history, the whole narrative of the history of vaccines is not even true at all in the slightest. There's also another really good book. Are you familiar with it was oh my gosh, what's her name?
Dr. Suzanne Humphreys?
Yes. What's the name of that book? Suzanne Humphreys and Roman Bistrionic, I think.
Yeah. I can't think of it. I have the book.
I was gonna say, yeah, I have it too. I have it just in the other room.
And it's even more so that book is phenomenal, as is any of the talks she gives. You can go find them, of course, not on YouTube. But you know what, speaking of YouTube, listen to this, Sam, if you could cue up clip number 7. There's a really, really successful and natural healing champion, a chiropractor named Dr. Eric Berg, who it's claimed, I don't know if it's true or not, that he was the largest health influencer on YouTube, and he is now completely censored because of the new algorithms that YouTube is introducing that only allow the World Health Organization perfidious quackery as official doctrine of the Church of the Magic Jab. So let's listen to Dr. Eric Berg, who had millions of followers, and now he's done.
Well, it's official. YouTube has just now banned anything related to health that doesn't align with the general medical consensus. So if any information related to health doesn't agree with the World Health Organization, they won't necessarily always take down the video, but they're going to change the algorithms. So they're going to replace those videos that were popular, that had lots of likes and lots of engagement, with medical information. This new partnership with YouTube is supposed to protect you against misinformation and promote high quality health information. And their definition of misinformation is anything that opposes their viewpoint. I mean, if you go to drberg.com, you will see that I have 7,607 success stories. I'm helping people. I'm giving people lots of non-toxic solutions. And if you just read the comments, you'll see that a lot of people are being helped. So my information is not dangerous. It's not misinformation. It's actually quite helpful. And this new change is going to hurt a lot of people because they're not going to be able to find alternative viewpoints, alternative opinions. Sometimes medicine doesn't work. You know, looking for inexpensive natural remedies to handle certain body issues. But guess what? Now they're going to have a very difficult time finding those solutions because all these medical sites are going to replace alternative health. I mean, I used to rank for so many conditions. Now you can't even find me unless you type drberg.com/whatever. And even on the keto diet, I have 928 keto videos. That's right, 928 videos. Guess what? When you type keto diet, you can't find me.
Well, what's horrible about that, John, is simultaneously they're the corrupt FDA, totally murderous FDA, is trying to eliminate homeopathy, and I have witnessed the miracles of homeopathy for you know, half a century. Even when I was a little kid, I used to see people taking homeopathic remedies, and I did as well, and it worked. And so this is just there's three kinds, John, it appears to me, three primary attack vectors of this fifth generational warfare by the Satanists, the synagogue of Satan, the individuals behind the Fritz Springmeier 12 families, whatever you want to call it. You know, these satanic parasites are attacking us in three ways. One is through the World Health Organization and the illegal, immoral genetic injections experimenting on the human population without consent. The second is the ridiculous climate scam. I mean, every week, John, in monitoring national news, international news, I come across another letter signed by 1,000, 2,000 actual sane climatologists and climate PhDs saying this is all a scam. Carbon, man-made carbon, carbon dioxide does nothing to affect the environment and weather. And you're talking about probably aggregate, you know, 10,000 plus sane scientists all saying the same thing, and yet they're full speed ahead on this nonsense. And the third way is this using the dumb compromised military to run this proxy war against Russia with the insane goal to start World War III. Either way, all three equal one thing, which is dramatic genocidal population decrease.
Yeah, no, that's very well said. I do not disagree with you at all. By the way, Humphrey's book is called Dissolving Illusions.
Right.
Disease, Vaccines, and the Forgotten History. I can't believe I forgot that. Anyways, that's also a must-read, by the way, for anybody listening. If you've not read that book, definitely. Yep. Totally dispels the official narrative of vaccines and shows that they've been nothing but harmful. And actually, what really led to a decrease in all these diseases was just, you know, improvements in public health and sanitation and, you know, having clean drinking water and things like that. No, you're making a lot of good points. And one thing, you know, listen to that doctor. I had never heard of that guy before, but it sounds like he's got a lot of important things to say about health. And I'm definitely totally skeptical and want nothing to do with the mainstream medical system. Yep. I haven't had health insurance for years. You know, I've never been to a doctor, at least not in the past like 5 or 6 years, at least now. You know, if you get sick, you get sick, and you know, drink some water and get some rest, and you'll be better in a week or so. You know, it's like we've all gone crazy with this whole COVID situation. It's, you know, totally asinine. But one thing that struck me, you know, hearing him talk, and it's something that we've probably all experienced, you know, people like you and I, is it's basically what their strategy is now on social media and on big platforms like YouTube, is this whole concept of freedom of speech, not freedom of reach. Where now they'll let you have your YouTube channel, they'll let you have your Twitter account, but they're just not going to let anybody see it. You know, they have they basically have you shadow banned, and you have to specifically go to find that content. It's not going to be recommended. It's not going to show up in other people's feeds. And this is a strategy that has been outlined and championed by the ADL itself.
Yes.
And even endorsed by Elon Musk, for example, you know, who's supposed to be this big you know, critic of the ADL. Certainly he does criticize the ADL, but he's demonstrated over and over that he continues to work with this organization and allow them to have, you know, basically the ear of every top level official at Twitter and dictate what they do on their platform, just like they do with Facebook and Instagram and Meta and YouTube and all these other top companies.
All right, we've reached the bottom of our break. Stay tuned for the brilliant independent journalist John Friend after these messages.
Yeah. You are tuned in to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Visit our website by going to republicbroadcasting.org.
Homeowners, if your lender has gone out of business or sold your transaction to another lender or servicer, you may be the victim of a wrongful foreclosure resulting in the loss of your home. If you've already lost your home, are in foreclosure, or even in good standing, you can challenge the mortgage transaction's illegal issue and your property can be restored to you, and your foreclosure can be stopped or reversed and the mortgage transaction declared unenforceable. State laws, U.S. title codes, the Uniform Commercial Codes, and U.S. Supreme Court rulings have upheld that defective mortgage documentations can reverse or stop foreclosures and enforce property title claims in favor of the homeowner. We are having successes in stopping the process of foreclosure, the enforcement of the foreclosure judgments, the sale of property, and evictions after the sale. We are not attorneys, and we don't give legal advice. We are a professional team of legal researchers, providing forensic mortgage audits and expert witnesses. We have the knowledge to produce the evidence and enforce laws regarding your legal issues. We've been in business for 12 years without a complaint. Consultations are free, and we provide a free title search to confirm if your mortgage has legal defects. Please call 855-253-3748. 855-2-KEEP-IT today.
Hello, hello, hello from beautiful Colorado. My name is Samuel Jung Kay, and I am currently the lead Shilajit hunter and master herbalist for Colorado Shilajit Company. In this video series, I will be discussing what we believe is the greatest of all adaptogenic superfoods and the single greatest natural healing remedy gifted to us by Mother Earth. I think you too will become as excited by this incredible substance called Shilajit as we were and are after our discovery of this amazing gift right here in beautiful, colorful Colorado. You may already know Shilajit by other names: Shilajit, Momio, Momi, Mami, Mineral Pitch, Asphaltum, and others. Shilajit literally translates to destroyer of weakness and conqueror of mountains. Shilajit has been in use for thousands of years and is considered as the highest valued cure-all of any earthly substance.
Look for the gold mountain and medical symbol logo in banners on republicbroadcasting.org to watch the full video and see more information. Use code GORBN when ordering. That's G-O-R-B-N.
Are you one of the millions of people who feel like there is a dark cloud hanging over their heads whenever they're using pharmaceutical drugs? For some, the short-term relief can turn into an opioid addiction nightmare. Have you ever wondered why CBD oil is a billion-dollar industry? It's because it works better than opioids and is actually healthy for you. However, CBD oil is stripped of all other helpful compounds found in the hemp plant. According to neuroscientists, the whole hemp plant, otherwise known as hemp paste, is even more effective than the chemically processed CBD oil. Are you ready to take back your health? You can try hemp paste for the price of a cup of coffee.
Hemppaste.com/RBN. Free shipping on orders over $50. See the banners for hemp paste at republicbroadcasting.org and visit hemppaste.com/RBN.
How long must we wait till you swallow your pride and admit that these scumbags took you for a ride when they played on your fears and they rendered you blind to the murderous games that they're playing of global control and experimentation? All the times they are a-changing. You took all their potions and you covered your face, but in 4 years there hasn't been 1 minute's break from the fear, the hysteria, division and hate on every TV and radio station. From COVID to monkeypox, war in Ukraine, now we're doomed cause the climate is changing. There must be a part of you knows it's not true that these psychotic billionaires care about you. In the grand scheme of things, we are shit on their shoe, and they're hell-bent on depopulation. We must fight for our children, we'll fight for yours too, cause it's clearly a war that they're waging.
All right, welcome back. That is, of course, the clever Monkey Boy with his parody version of the classic early Bob Zimmerman, Hebrew Bob Zimmerman, who changed his name to Bob Dylan. The times they are changing. I think Monkey Boy out of the UK's lyrics are way more Apropos these days, John, what do you think?
Absolutely. Yeah, that's a good song. I had never heard that before. Is that something you just started incorporating into the show?
Yep. Mm-hmm. I've started to find excellent parody songs to use at the bottom of each hour, and there's so many great ones I've got, you know, 30 in arrears waiting still, and I find more every day, including shout out to Johnny Sunshine. He sends me great links and great parody songs all the time, and keep them coming, Johnny. I appreciate it. And so, John, before we move on, first let me say that you know, republicbroadcasting.org is the house that John Stadtmiller built, and sadly John passed nearly 2 years ago. And John was one of those charismatic dudes who could put a business on his back and shake the tree and make it rain money, right? Well, John's gone, but the station's still here, and there's been some very heroic individuals trying to keep it going, but it's tough. They need support. And so if you can go to the RBN republicbroadcasting.org website, awesome store. The Wild Pasture is excellent. I've had it. It's really great. There's a lot of products there that even if you got to move your cows or pigs, they've got something for that. And if you can't afford to, you know, maybe you're a trust fund baby, or maybe you made a ton of money in crypto before they locked it all down. Give RBN, you know, $50-$100 a month, you know, as a subscription donation, so they can understand where their finances are flowing. Either way, stations with courageous people like RBN or Speak Free Radio, there aren't too many of them around. You know, Renegade Broadcasting is good. Those people live it. You know, it's a lot of work. I do 3 shows a week, and I put in, you know, 6 hours. You hear me? I put another 20 hours in during the week or more, trying to stay on top of all this and deliver quality product. And can you imagine running a radio station 24/7, 365, and herding cats, which is all the different hosts and their various perspectives and egos? So they do a great job. And so let me turn it over to John now, because I think RBN and Barnes Review, not RBN, AFP and Barnes Review are still offering a discount, aren't they, John?
Yes, sir. Yeah, you can get a subscription to either American Free Press, the print issue, or the Barnes Review for half off if you use the code RBNFriend when you check out. And if anybody has any issues or any questions, feel free to contact me directly. You can find my contact info right on therealistreport.com, which is my main website. But whenever I post these shows that we do, these, I guess they were somewhat regular Sunday evening shows. I know I've been kind of missing in action the past 2 months, but I always post the details for how to go about picking up a subscription. And yeah, you're right, man. We definitely got to support independent media, especially, you know, outlets where we're actually dealing with, you know, the most controversial topics confronting humanity at this point. So, you know, and again, it's not an easy thing to do, as you were saying. I mean, maintaining a radio network, maintaining a print publication,
right,
in this current era, I mean, this is not an easy thing to do, especially when you're talking about these subjects and you got a big target on your back, and, you know, groups like the ADL and the Southern Poverty Law Center and all these other far left activists attacking you on a regular basis, trying to get you deplatformed, debanked, you know, kicked off of all the payment processors. There's not even a payment processor I can use publicly on my website, you know, so it's, yep, it's not easy. And,
no,
you know, it goes a long way with a subscription, and especially, you know, when you can get it for half off. So I'd encourage people to check out AmericanFreePress.net and BarnesReview.org and consider subscribing. And speaking of the Barnes Review, I wanted to mention just briefly, we just published the September-October issue. It's been mailed out. I received mine like right at the beginning of September, so it came out like right on time.
Yeah, I got mine. Great, great issue.
Yeah, it turned out really good. I'm going to be interviewing some of the reporter or some of the contributors in this issue in this next week or two. So be on the lookout over at barnesreview.org. You can find those podcasts. And you can also find them over on my website, therealistreport.com. I've got an RSS feed that you can subscribe to, and the shows will just download automatically on your phone. But yeah, no, the issue turned out really good. There's a lot of very powerful articles in there, as always. It looks great. You know, the front cover is pretty controversial, to say the least. It's a revisionist analysis of Third Reich book burnings, and it's an article by John Weir, who has been a long time.
John Weir, right?
Yeah, he's a historian. He's an author. He's a long time contributor to the Barnes Review. He's on the board of contributing editors of the magazine, and he's just a wealth of knowledge and information, and writes very powerfully about World War II and National Socialist Germany. So I would encourage people to check that out, and again, consider subscribing. Thanks. I appreciate you allowing me to get that plug in there.
And, you know, John, getting back to the pressing issues of the day, two things. Number one, a gentleman who was even more intense than the great Dr. Susan Humphreys, and it cost him his life, is the brilliant Dr. Andrew Molden, M-O-U-L-D-E-N, who wrote the book Every Vaccine Produces Harm. And he wrote was well on his way to building a huge following when they killed him. He was literally assassinated. And he wrote in an article, the lead was, "What we have done to each other with vaccines has produced the most profound damages to humankind by humankind in the history of humanity." He got it exactly right, and they killed him for it. And so, speaking of injections, you could argue, and I do argue regularly, that the fourth prong of this satanic fifth generational attack on decent people is this poisoning of the body, minds, and spirit of young and feeble individuals, and changing them from basically an XX or an XY, a man or a woman, I mean a woman or a man to keep it parallel, XX are women, of course, XY men, is now this incredible upsurge in homosexuality, trannyism, queer LGBTQ, and people are sick of it. And John, this is really interesting. I came across this week, that when you look at the hijacked rainbow flag initially in the Bible, the creator said that I give you the gift of the rainbow to show that I'm resurrecting, I'm paraphrasing, resurrecting humanity from the great flood. But the homos and their flag, there were seven colors to the rainbow, but the homos and their flag are only six colors. They don't include indigo, because that is the color of the divine and spirituality. And so they are all Satanists, and more and more of them are coming out and admitting such, as if you look at the videos that pass for garbage pop music now. Everyone is like a satanic ritual, and it's just disgusting. But you know what? The people have had enough. And this clip, Sam, if you could cue up clip number 15, this just hit Twitter a couple hours ago. An irate black mother storms into a history class, and there's a 50-something-year-old a queer lesbian, and who's on behind her on the wall is not only the disgusting homo flag, but the even worse pedo tranny flag with the brown, black, and pink stripes, which is all about, you know, raping underage children and all that. And so listen to this, John. This mother had had enough. It's quite good. She storms in, tears down the flag, and the lesbian parasite acts all indignant, but this mother would have none of it. This is a good clip.
Wait, what are you doing?
Nuts.
She tore the flag off the wall.
I am not paying
money. How dare you?
I am not paying my tax.
Mom.
Money.
Get out.
Support.
Get out of
this type of
now.
You can't. Why do you have this hanging? And why do you have this hanging up?
It's part of the students.
No, it's not part of anything.
Mom.
That is uncalled for. We are paying you to teach history, and that's what you need to be teaching.
Excuse me, this is a public school, little lady.
You are excused.
Get out. You see what's on this side?
No. This needs
class
to go exactly where it is, in the garbage.
You need to go in the garbage.
I'm teaching my son to grow up to be a man.
The black mother threw it in the garbage and stomped on it.
I'm calling security.
Wow. Hanging a flag up for you
security
to sit up there and teach them the type of stuff I'm trying to keep them away from.
I told you what would happen.
Right,
I told you.
No.
I told you somebody
you
parent going to get mad.
You need to be teaching history.
33, please.
No, you need to be teaching history.
Shut up.
So, John, how about that?
It's like, normal people are finally getting outraged at this nonsense.
Long overdue.
Yeah, no kidding, man. This stuff is just so over the top anymore. And it's like everywhere you look, in TV shows, you know, just mainstream society in general, they're putting it in like freaking like Disney movies and stuff now. It's just totally inappropriate and uncalled for. Did you see all the controversy with the Senate? I can't remember the guy's name. He was a senator, I think, from Louisiana. I think he's a Kennedy, actually. His last name's Kennedy, anyways. He was reading from this, like, super degenerate, like, kid's book Congress. Yeah, and they were like all offended about it. It's like, look, this is what kids are being – this is what's being promoted to kids. You know, and if you're offended that this guy's publicly reading from it, then, you know, I think we got major problems with the literature, you know, in public school libraries today. I mean, it's just sickening. And I mean, God, it's so hard. I mean, you know, everybody has different, you know, situations, different circumstances. But I don't know how you can let your kids go to a public school these days, or at least not be heavily involved in what they're learning about, what they're watching on social media. You know, the sort of information they're consuming, the sort of entertainment they're consuming, because this stuff is just everywhere. You know, Satan has gone totally mask off.
Yep.
And, you know, you look into the history of any of this stuff, you know, the promotion of the LGBTQ plus movement, you know, all this nonsense. It's basically all straight from the mind of some deviant Marxist, communist, anti-white Jew.
Oh, 100%.
And that's just a fact. And, you know, these people will openly boast about it and write entire reports and books about it,
yep.
You know, and present it to their own people. And yet, if you notice it, you're somehow an anti-Semite. You know, this stuff is just outrageous. And it's good to see normal people. I did see that clip on Twitter, by the way. I saw that earlier today. You know, it was making the rounds, you know, on social media, went viral.
Yep. Right.
And, you know, it's I guess it's good to see. I mean, it's a little, you know, I don't know if that's something I would necessarily do or encourage people to do. You know, you might get the cops called on you and arrested or something, but it is outrageous what's going on in schools today. Maybe there's a little bit more appropriate ways to go about it, but that genuine outrage and rage and disgust at this whole far left you know, movement is very much long overdue, as you said.
Well, John, we've got another this very insightful black conservative commentator. This was originally on YouTube. They probably took it down, but I found it on BitChute. Sam, if you could play clip number two. But this conservative black just nails it in very succinct terms on why pedophiles support the LGBTQWTF satanic initiative. So check this out.
Why do the pedophiles care about lesbians, bisexuals, homosexuals, and transgenders? If I am a pedophile, I don't want to go to jail. I'm a celebrity. I'm famous. Ritualistic sex is what we do with kids. It's part of our demonic culture. I want pedophilia to become normal. I want it stricken from the criminal code altogether. I'm going to push LGBTQ because if a child is old enough to decide I never want to have children, take my testicles, take my ovaries. If an 8, 9, 10, 11-year-old child is old enough to make those three decisions, how can you argue that they're not old enough to decide to have sex? The argument of the pedophile is going to be backed up by this LGBT crusade against our children because in their sick minds, they are rationalizing the argument before the courts. If he's old enough to say, I don't want my testicles, if she's old enough to say, I never want to have children, if he's old enough to say, I want to live my life as a girl, if she's old enough to say, I want to live a life as a boy and I don't care about having kids, and she can say this at 12, is she not also old enough to decide when she's ready to have sex? That is going to be the argument that the pedophiles are going to take into court. LGBTQ is the mask the pedophile movement wears to get their agenda pushed.
That's exactly right, John. You're
spot on. Oh, yeah, no, that's 100% spot on. Well, now, I mean, you even see them, like, the way they even frame it nowadays, it's like, what do they call it, MAPS, minor attracted person?
Yeah, like,
they're trying to, like, desensitize this concept to the masses. Oh man, we got major problems. I mean, you gotta. To me, what's incredible is just the fact that this is, you know, going on in America, and there's not more outrage. There's not a bigger backlash. I mean, there is. There's definitely people waking up every single day, and more people are so fed up with this crap. I mean, you know, even this is very anecdotal, but you know, I talk to people all day long, every day, and you know, you hear them make comments about this, and people are sick of this crap, man. Even kids, even like, you know, younger kids that I'll, you know, run into. Or people I know or whatever, their kids, and even the kids are rejecting this crap.
Yep, absolutely. Sam, if you could cue up clip number one. You mentioned earlier about the white-hating perfidious Talmudic Jew, and you know what's encouraging mildly is there's more and more young, sane white women, you know, teenagers on up who have had enough of it, and listen to this montage of fed up white women.
I've been thinking a lot about a phrase I've been hearing, that anti-racist is just a code word for anti-white.
It's starting to make sense. They say that they're anti-racist, but what they really are is anti-white.
Think about it.
Nobody says that a black neighborhood needs more diversity.
Nobody says that an Asian neighborhood needs diversity.
White neighborhoods and only white neighborhoods are said to need more diversity.
Nobody says that a black church needs more diversity.
Nobody says that Asian churches need more diversity.
White churches and only white churches need more diversity.
Black pride is seen as good and healthy and normal. Asian pride is seen as good, healthy, and normal.
But if I show pride in my race, the white race, I'm said to be a Nazi who wants to kill 6 million Jews.
If a black woman wants to date inside her race, that's acceptable. If an Asian woman wants to date inside her race, that's acceptable.
But if I want to date and marry within my race, the white race, I'm called the R-word.
Black politicians are openly admitting that they are working towards the best interests of their people. Hispanic politicians are openly admitting that they are working towards the best interests of their people.
If a white politician were to openly admit that they were working in the best interest of their people, there would be a national scandal, a public outcry, and would be kicked out of office.
Throughout elementary school, junior high school, and college, I was told that my race, the white race, was the cause of all the world's problems. Now, many of you had jobs where minorities say things that would get you, as a white person, instantly fired.
This conditioning is done to white people and only white people. White children and only white children are being affected by this, and only white countries are doing this.
The Aztecs conquered many surrounding Native American tribes, practiced human sacrifice, and held slaves.
Yet anti-racists don't say that Mexicans must apologize forever and have their lands forcibly flooded with non-Mexicans and be forced to assimilate.
The Ottoman Empire attacked white Slavs and took many of them as slaves, so much that we get the word slave from the Slavs.
Yet anti-racists don't say that the Turks must apologize forever and have their lands flooded with non-Turks.
World history is a rainbow of violence.
Yet all whites and only whites are demonized for this violence. Anti-racism is the code word for anti-white. Resist this conditioning by using this mantra.
Africa for the Africans. Asia for the Asians. White countries for everyone.
Everybody says that there's this race problem. Everybody says that this race problem will only be solved when the third world pours into white countries and only white countries.
The Netherlands and Belgium are just as crowded as Japan and Taiwan. But nobody says that Japan and Taiwan will solve this race problem by bringing in millions of third worlders and, quote, assimilating, unquote, with them.
Everybody says that the final solution to this race problem is for every white country and only white country to assimilate, i.e. intermarry with all those non-whites.
What if I said that there was this race problem? And that this race problem would only be solved if millions of non-blacks were brought into every black country and only black countries?
How long would it take anyone to realize I'm not talking about a race problem? I'm talking about the final solution to the black problem.
And how long would it take any sane black man to notice this? And what kind of psycho black man wouldn't object to this?
But if I tell the obvious truth about the ongoing program of genocide against my race, the white race,
the obvious truth about the ongoing program of genocide against my race,
the ongoing program of genocide against my race, the white race.
But if I tell the obvious truth about the ongoing program of genocide against my race, the white race, liberals and respectable conservatives agree that I'm a Nazi who wants to kill 6 million Jews.
They say they are anti-racist, but what they are is anti-white.
Anti-racist is a code word for anti-white.
Well, John, what do you think of that?
I gotta love it. Yeah, I remember that video coming out years ago. Yeah, no, that's good. I mean, well, that's the thing. Like, those sort of, like, just basic talking points are just simply irrefutable. I mean, you can't. It's an obvious truth, you know? And yet it's something that's just never really publicly expressed. It's never presented that way. You know, thank God for the internet. We're able to get this information out. And I think it's definitely resonating with more and more people. I'd sent you a link. I came across this study done by the Homeland Institute. And it was all about how they did this, like, this huge poll, and most white Republicans at least agree slightly with the whole great replacement theory. They at least, you know, they, like, recognize and understand the concept.
That's right. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so there's more and more people recognizing these things, and you know, which is why, remember when Tucker Carlson did that segment about the Great Replacement, basically, and he was talking about these issues on Fox News, and the ADL was like apoplectic and like pulling their hair out and demanding he be fired, and you know, and have Fox News punish him and target him and stuff like that. Of course, they ultimately acquiesced and did fire him shortly after that. But yeah, they don't want this information out there. They don't want anybody talking about it. They don't want people, you know, drawing conclusions and just recognizing, you know, basic patterns, you know, the reality of what these people are up to. In their own words, they will openly admit these things, and yet if you notice it or criticize it or in any way opposed to it, you're somehow some hater, some racist. And one thing that really struck me listening to that video and hearing those hearing what those ladies had to say is how totally I guess what I'm trying to say is the central importance of how our history has been weaponized, because it ties into this, you know, this anti-white agenda, how any form of like, you know, even having just like a positive, you know, pro-white identity or like a perspective, you know, just caring about white people is somehow evil and racist and will ultimately lead to 6 million Jews being rounded up and, you know, murdered in gas chambers or whatever. It's so tied in to this fake Holocaust story. You know, this issue to me, I mean, like the whole concept of like revisionism is like so central to this broader like pro-white political struggle. Like you can't separate the two. They're
100%
inexplicably tied together. Yeah.
Well, you know what? We got just enough time, Sam. If you could cue up clip number 16 in short, is you know, let's all take the 6 million lies of the Holocaust quiz.
Okay, let's start the Holocaust quiz. Tina, you're up first. What proof exists that the Nazis killed 6 million Jews?
None. All we have is post-war testimony, mostly of individual survivors. This testimony is contradictory, and very few claim to have actually witnessed any gassing.
That's not what the textbook says, though. I'm sorry, your point of view based on evidence, rather than a book, is wrong. Next question. How do we know the diary of Anne Frank is real?
The diary of Anne Frank isn't real, though. It was written in ballpoint pen, which wasn't invented until 1950s and wasn't even written in Anne Frank's handwriting.
Well, Miss Baby Boiling Anti-Semitic Infant-Eating Blood-Obsessed Holocaust Denier, how do you explain the large amounts of Zyklon B that was found at Auschwitz?
It was a pesticide used to fumigate clothing and quarters to kill typhus-bearing lice and other pests. Plus, there were far more effective products that could have been used.
Well, thank God for thought crimes. Here in Germany, you get thrown in jail for denying the Holocaust.
If the Holocaust were true, it could be challenged repeatedly and always come out on top. The truth doesn't need to stop people from thinking.
That's enough of that satanic free thinking. Not only are you going to fail my class, but you're going to jail. Have a nice life. What was the main cause of death at the concentration camps?
Typhus. It's a disease carried by lice. Ironically, if the Nazis used more Zyklon B, more of those Jews would be alive today.
The correct answer was death by gassing, you anti-Semite. Not only are you going to fail my class, you're also going to jail.
You haven't taught anything more than a biased opinion, and when it's challenged you use trigger words like anti-Semite.
There you go, John.
Love it. That's awesome. That's brilliant. Yeah, man, this whole Holocaust story really is like the linchpin of this whole anti-white system. And, you know, that's why I spend significant amount of my time focusing on this issue.
Me and you both, yep. All right, here we go. Hour one down, hour two. You're the new guest co-host, so you can call in after these messages.
Einstein once said, "Future medicine will be the medicine of frequencies." What did he know? Imagine you hear ocean waves caressing a beach, or a favorite song from the past, or the trickle of the babbling brook. All of these are sound frequencies that positively affect us. Terahertz is a soothing, healing frequency that has been proven to resonate at the same frequency as healthy cells. It penetrates the body and stimulates new healthy cell growth. Want to diminish muscle aches, joint pains, and experience a greater sense of well-being? Tired of spending money on short-term remedies that never seem to work? Soothing, healing, relaxing Terahertz frequency is now available and as handy as flipping a switch. Terahertz technology is changing the course of what we were taught about how to maintain our health and well-being. To learn more about this amazing breakthrough, go to naturalearthmedicine.com. That's naturalearthmedicine.com.
You can't handle the truth!
You're listening to Republic Broadcasting Network. Visit republicbroadcasting.org today because you can handle the truth.